Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ohio voters might have thought they'd heard the last of the payday lender conflict in November when they voted nearly 2-1 for a ballot issue that capped short-term annual interest rates at 28%. But the payday industry in Ohio, at least the roughly half that remains, turned to two other parts of Ohio law to make up at least some of the difference. Critics of payday-style loans say that the industry has merely tapped into a couple of loopholes, and yesterday testimony commenced on a House bill that would plug those holes. This battle, at least for the time being, will be waged inside the halls of the Ohio State House instead of on your television, although I can't make promises about that. But chances are it will be no less impassioned. Joining me today in the studio to make his case in this conflict is Ted Saunders, CEO of CheckSmart, a payday lending company based in Dublin. Thank you, Ted, for coming here today.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Bill Faith. He led the successful ballot issue against the loans last year. He's the executive director of COHIO, the Coalition. Okay.
Fill on homelessness and housing in Ohio.
It's been around
good
since
to be
1994,
here,
Bill. Someday I'll get it. COHIO is so much easier to remember. Ted, let's start with you. Can you describe the sections of the Ohio law that the payday lending industry has availed itself of to stay in business?
Sure. And a quick background, actually 545 pass was successful and was in force. Any person who wishes to operate under that law after the unsuccessful ballot initiative is welcome to do it.
And that was a law passed
last year.
Last year.
The direction that as we as an industry received, and I personally listened to through every minute of testimony last year, was that many of the members on both sides of the aisle didn't want to see lending options leave the state, but rather payday loans leave the state. And payday loans are gone.
What's the difference? What were payday loans?
Payday loans were provided under the Deferred Prevent section of the Ohio Check Cashing Statute, which in, outside of all that gobbledygook just means we are permitted to charge $15 per 100 borrowed in fees for loans for customers for periods of 2 weeks to a month.
And that law came around in the 90s, right?
Mid-90s,
okay,
that's correct.
Yeah.
And the two other statutes, which many of my competitors and our company have looked to operate under, is the Ohio Small Loan Act and the Ohio Mortgage Loan Act. And those acts carry interest rates of 25% and 28% respectively, but also provide for loan origination fees and fees designed to help offset the cost of verifying customers' credit. These are statutes that have been around since the 60s in some cases. Many types of loans are offered under the statutes, and less than a year into it, but find a way to stay in business and serve our customers conforming to the acts that are on the books.
Bill, 545 was enacted in reaction to criticism of the payday lending industry, but it didn't go far enough?
Right. We never anticipated that the payday lenders would operate under things like the Mortgage Loan Act, because the Mortgage Loan Act was never intended to regulate these kinds of small loans that are issued every 2 weeks. I think what some in the legislature talked about was certain kinds of other statutes, like the Small Loan Act, could be used, but they typically provided 90 days to pay off the loan, which is a really key provision, because the issue is payday loans are still alive and well. It's still functionally the same business model, the same product. But the biggest problem enters into it when people have to pay off the entire principal of the loan plus the interest and fees within 2 weeks typically by their next payday. So that leads people – it's obvious that if somebody needs $500 today, they're not going to have – an extra $545 2 weeks from now. So that leads them to get into a cycle where they borrow in a repeated fashion over time to make up for the fact that they have to, get this money to pay off the loan. So they've sort of warped the intention of the Small Loan Act or the Mortgage Loan Act to fit it into the payday lending business model. So the bill that's on the table would make those regulations consistent with what the payday regulation is.
But Ted said that they were basically invited to do that and to tap into these parts of the Ohio Revised Code, and you didn't expect them to do it, or Did you not
know?
Or
the legislators that I've talked to that said, well, why don't you operate under the small loan business model? Well, that gives borrowers more time to repay, typically. 90 days is the normal prior small loan. It also, I don't think anybody anticipated that they'd pack in all these other fees, like credit check fees, origination fees, a fee to cash the check. So in the old days with payday lending, they would give the borrower the money they're borrowing in cash.
So what do they do now, Ted?
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting. I didn't realize quite a student of lending history. But you know, using words like typically and this is the way it was and the way it should be, we're continuing to dance around the key issue in this debate is that the opposition has no hardcore facts to back up the claims they make. Let me address this. This is not the same product. It's a different product.
Okay, tell me what happens if I go into one of your outfits today. What do I do? What exactly do I do? I want to borrow $500.
You would walk in.
Mm-hmm.
We would interview you. You would tell us your income, your desire for the loan, how much you want to borrow. You would leave a post-dated check with us on the agreed-upon date where you're going to repay your loan. We would explain your charges to you fully. And we would tell you at that time that our loan proceeds are issued in the form of a money order. And at that time, we would also tell you that your credit decisioning has nothing to do with the next decision that you're going to make. And that decision is, would you like to borrow for roughly half of what you were charged prior to all of this controversy and debate, and take your loan proceeds to your bank, which you have because you left me a check, and deposit them, using them as you please. So before the law changed, we would have charged $60 for a $40 advance. Now we charge just under $30, giving the customer the choice to take the item. Now, in our society and in our stores, we're always presented with choices. One of those choices is, do you want cash now in exchange for a convenience fee, or do you want to do something that may be less convenient to you but less expensive, very similar to using an ATM that's out of your bank's network?
You used to give them cash. Now you just do the money orders.
When the industry started, most players actually gave checks. And as time evolved, one of the competitive advantages, one that our company took advantage of, was to begin offering cash to our customers as an incentive for them to come in and use our service above others who didn't give loan proceeds in cash. So actually the beginning of the industry was to give the proceeds in the check. What we've gotten back to is when you charge half as much for something, we're still trying to stay in business and provide a service. Those customers who choose to cash it are simply making that choice and paying an additional fee for that cash on the spot.
The fees are fixed, right, or not? Are they per?
Yeah, the origination fees and the credit verification fees are fixed. The amount of interest depends on the amount of principal you've borrowed and how long it's outstanding.
But the maximum interest that you can charge?
Yes, is fixed under both code sections.
Okay. And the fees, what are they, the two fees?
The fees.
The
under
origination.
The two acts, the origination fees on loans up to $500 under each of the acts is $15. From $500 to $1,000, it's $30.
That's one fee. And then there's another fee.
You're allowed under the Mortgage Loan Act as a lender to offset some of your costs of delivering credit verification by charging a fixed $10 per occurrence fee.
Which means to cash the check. Is that?
It's associated with the loan.
Okay.
The credit investigation fee is associated with the loan. What all that combines into is at a $400 loan, we would have charged $460 before. It's approximately $430 under the Mortgage Loan Act and $420 under the Small Loan Act. So a substantial discount to what was charged when we previously operated under a payday lending statute, which has been eliminated.
What would it be if you did not avail yourself of these fees? What would you be charging then?
We charge about $1 per 100 borrowed, so we would take a 90% decrease in our revenue.
Now, about half the industry is left in Ohio. Was it over 800?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I hate to sound like I'm apologizing that half the industry survived. You know, if this was the same product and we were charging the same thing in the same way, I find it very hard to believe that half the industry would have closed. Because
well, why didn't they hang on and do the same thing that the survivors
couldn't make it? I mean, we have national company, many of the smaller operators in the state that didn't have the financial wherewithal to absorb the shock, you know, went out of business.
Bill, there's obviously a demand for these kind of loans or they wouldn't be in business. And especially among people who can't afford conventional checking accounts, too. I was wondering what's been done since last November to provide them with affordable alternatives.
Well, they all have checking accounts.
Yeah.
I mean, that as Ted pointed out, everybody leaves a post-dated check. It's sort of the collateral, if you will. It's they have that check. They could process that check if the borrower doesn't come in to repay the loan. And this is not a good alternative. I mean, this is for many of the customers, and not all. Granted, Ted will say he has those customers that come in, take out a loan, pay it off, and they don't see him again, maybe for months, maybe ever. But for a large percentage of the customers, it gets them into a cycle of debt, which is, you know, meaning loan after loan after loan. Maybe not immediately, but if they get to the end of the month and they realize after paying off the loan they don't have the money to pay their bills, they often are forced to go back. Somebody testified yesterday that's juggling 2, 3, 4 of these loans at a time because they've been in this cycle for over 2 years.
At the outset, though, what are the alternatives for people who need small, short-term loans?
Well, there are loans offered by credit unions, for example, that do charge a once-a-year origination fee, similar to what payday lenders charge. But it's only once a year. It's not on every single loan. And then they charge a rate of 17% on the loan. So, I mean, just to translate, in Ted's example, on a $500 loan, there's an origination fee of $30. There's a credit check fee of $10. There's a check cashing fee if the borrower opts for that, which can be anywhere from 3 to 6% we've seen of the loan amount. So that could be another $15 at least, plus 28%. So it's quite a contrast between those two products.
I want to get back to this, and we will get back to it. We're going to take a break right now, however. We'd like to hear from listeners about their experience with payday lending. Do you miss it? Did you miss it? And what? And do you love it? Let us know. Call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, WOSU 820 NPR News. We'll be right back.
Support for WOSU comes from MORPC's Ride Solutions, a source for carpooling, vanpooling, busing, biking, and walking in Central Ohio. MORPC, find a better way to work. More information at ridesolutions@morpc.org.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. At noon, fresh air will be here. When star quarterback Michael Vick was jailed for operating an illegal dogfighting operation, a hidden culture was revealed. We'll hear about the hidden culture and what's being done to stop dogfighting from the Humane Society's manager of animal fighting, John Goodwin, and former street dogfighter Sean Moore. That's on Fresh Air today at noon right here on WOSU 820. Currently 73 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies today, a chance of rain showers, a high of 77. Clouds tonight with a low around 60. And sunshine tomorrow morning and then a cloudy Friday afternoon and a high of 78. You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Tell us your experience with payday lending. Call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking with Ted Saunders, CEO of CheckSmart, a payday lending company based in Dublin, and Bill Faith, Executive Director of the Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio. It's the organization that led the successful ballot issue against payday interest rates last year. Ted, you wanted to respond to what Bill said earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the most frustrating things about this topic is the mainstream somehow believes that my customers are not sophisticated, employed, hardworking Ohioans. And, you know, I'm going to demonstrate for the legislature. I'll share with you today. You know, in the last 90 days, I've had thousands, let me stress, thousands of letters from hardworking Ohioans that say, They choose our product because it's the least expensive product in the marketplace. The other side of this debate, we'll try to tell you that banks and credit unions and so forth, family, friends, churches are going to fill the need for these people. The reality is they don't, won't, and can't, and those that do charge more. Banks on Capitol Square are making loans more expensive than mine to consumers right out of an ATM. Your fee for bouncing a check far exceeds the cost of borrowing money from one of my locations. What we have here is a segment of the population who's looking at their choice. How do I get from point A to point B in the most effective and cost-efficient fashion to help me out in my life? And the notion that, you know, with all due respect to Bill, we have spirited conversations, I have purview to the data. Bill does not. I have 750 employees. I have 90 locations. And I'm telling you, half of our customers, making the accusation that half of our customers are in this cycle of debt, there's no statistical evidence to support this claim. And the reality is, if you look at the public companies in the space, because their information is public, we're private, but if you look at the public ones, only 3% or in most cases 3 to 3.5% of principal comes back unpaid. So making the notion that 50% of our customers are dissatisfied, trapped in a cycle of debt and unable to repay, we wouldn't exist. We'd be out of business.
Okay, you're listening to WOSU 820, All Sides with Ann Fisher. Call 614-292-8513 if you've been burned in payday lending and you've fallen into one of the cycles that Bill Faith was talking about, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's hear from somebody right now. Rob, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I guess my question about the customers. I guess we really wouldn't be talking about this if the customers weren't coming into the stores. And half of these stores have now been taken away. And now if all of these stores go away, I guess I'd ask Mr. Saunders, where would they go if all these businesses closed?
Okay, Rob. Well,
thanks for your question, Rob, and for calling in. You know, there's a couple of things that we'll see. You know, Federal Reserve of New York released a white paper on what happened in states. North Carolina was the subject where payday lending left. And what happened was a sharp increase in bank NSF charges. So that's one place customers will go. They'll just bounce checks.
Insufficient funds.
Yes, okay. Insufficient funds. You know, another quickly developing and truly scary element we have in this country, for all of its good, is the internet. If you Google, go to your screen right now if you're listening in your office, and Google Payday Loans Ohio, you will see literally hundreds of choices. My favorite one is mypaydayloans.com, originated in Costa Rica, charging $25 or $35 per hundred and delivering money in and out of people's bank accounts from offshore lenders. And then now we have our citizens' Social Security numbers in the hands of people out of country. It's a very bad dynamic. What we found out is, you know, we've provided a framework with 545 for anyone who wants. There is no restriction in this country for any person from opening up across the street from Checksmart and offering these loans for a lower price. McDonald's and Burger King proves you can argue over a nickel. Okay. There's no reason why we can't have alternatives if they could be offered cheaper. We're doing it as cheaply as we can.
Bill, Rob makes the point. People are going back for these things. Why did they do it? What do you understand about the people, the patrons?
I think the patrons would appreciate having a product that didn't pack in multiple different fees and what it amounts to an APR of 300-400%. I mean, you know, I think they would appreciate cheaper alternatives. And the issue that Ted raised about some of the internet payday lending scams, I mean, that's a concern of ours. And in fact, the bill that's on the table would give the Attorney General greater enforcement powers to crack down on these internet-type payday lending scams as well. They're out there, too. I mean, they're operating now. We're not getting rid of them because we have storefronts offering these loans. So we want to have stricter enforcement against those kinds of internet loans.
Ted, you said that.
But in fairness, so it's when people don't have alternatives in their neighborhoods that they turn to these other more dangerous alternatives. We have to be fair about that. And of course, I'm sure General Cordray's office would love to enforce anything and everything on offshore lenders, but the only thing Lundy's bill addresses domestic lenders. There's nothing really practically, as many laws as you wish to pass, the General Cordray's office can do about an illegal offshore lender. That's the point. And I believe absolutely Bill's correct. I'm sure General Cordray would love to stop it, but as AGs in every state in the country have experienced, it's awfully hard to shut down a server in a foreign country. And what we don't want to have is consumers having their choice they choose today taken away and looking around their environment and making that dangerous choice.
I did go online last night and I did look at the hundreds, hundreds and hundreds that are available in Ohio. Where's the shortage? That's what I was trying to figure out. It wasn't mapped for me.
Sorry,
so where are the shortage of payday lender operations? Where?
Oh, what you see now is customers are traveling further from where they did before to receive the services. I think if you were to do an overlay of the licensees, I would say instinctively that I would suspect that rural areas of the state are probably seeing more decrease in the urban areas. I haven't done it. Can't tell you for a fact. But if you were to remove the approximately 850 storefront lenders that exist today, customers will have a choice. Bounce a check, pay a late fee, go to the internet, none of which are good choices.
Bill, what do you know about the makeup of the industry in Ohio, how it's spread around?
Back before the law was passed, there were more of these payday lending locations than there were McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's combined in Ohio. There was – there's 850 of them. They're everywhere. There's no shortage of payday lending operations in the state. We're overwhelmed by the volume of them. You see them in suburbs. You see them in rural areas. You see them in small towns. You see them in big cities. They're still are permeating the state. And, they've consolidated some of their stores, but most of the – particularly the biggest payday lenders that had – the largest market share are still alive and well in the state.
What's the connection between payday lending and housing, which is your usual bailiwick, is housing for, getting people into their first homes, getting people away from homelessness, that sort of thing? What's the connection?
Well, back a couple years ago when this debate started in the legislature, we were originally not that involved in the discussion. But we heard from, as we put out information that this bill is on the table, we heard from many of our members who say that some of their tenants or residents of their housing projects get into trouble being able to pay their rent because they're caught up in this payday lending cycle. And many of the church-based organizations we work with to provide services to people in need came to us and said, this is a real problem. We're seeing more people coming to our food pantries because they're caught up in payday lending. More people not able to pay their rent.
COHIO was formed in 1994, just about the same time the laws changed, or just before the laws changed, that allowed these kinds of interest rates and that sort of thing. How long was it before you noticed after that?
Really, initially, the product, when the payday loan product was presented to the legislature, when it was initially approved in statute, mm-hmm. The concept was people have a short-term emergency, right? They have some kind of problem. They need a short-term loan for 2 weeks. And, yeah, they charge a high fee. But if it's just once and they're done, then it's not so much of a problem. It took a long time for us to see that for many of the people that came to us and to the groups we work with, that it also creates a cycle of debt for many people. And that's really what provoked discussions around changing the law and tightening it down. And I think we're really talking about the appropriate role of the government to establish some regulatory framework on lending in our state. And we know from the past, from the recent past in the mortgage world, that the lack of regulation on subprime lending and other really questionable loan products led to devastating results, not just for those borrowers, but for all of us. So it's very appropriate for the state to consider what is the right regulation on all forms of lending. We've done it as long as we've been a state, and this is appropriate for the state to debate.
Ted, you brought up the issue that, your customers are not as unsophisticated as they're being made out in a lot of the criticism of the payday lending industry. And that same sort of defense or point is often made with the mortgage, the subprime mortgage industry at the time when it was starting to fall apart. They're like, wait a minute. Our customers aren't dumb, you know, in support of the way it was operating at the time. And now we know, well, it may not be, they may not be unsophisticated, but how do you explain how some people do fall into this trap? And I guess we can bicker all day about what percentage of customers are in it. You're saying maybe 3%.
So I'm saying a fraction of customers can't repay these loans. And there's
But how do you, what do you know about those people that fall into these things? And what does the industry do to keep them from or is it just
Before I took this job, and I put on a trainee badge and stood at our windows in our stores, and I waited on customers, and I talked to them, and I asked them for their stories. And, you know, meeting the hardworking people of Ohio, talking to our customers, I've done over 20 store visits in the last 60 days with members of the legislature. Just let them come out and talk to our customers. You know what our customers say? They say, yeah, we know this is expensive, but it's the least expensive option we have. And used in moderation, it can really help me out because – an emergency to a mom is when your kid comes home and has a science project due in 48 hours, you got to go buy the supplies. If you've got a prescription copay and you need to pay it and you've got a six-month-old in your arm, it's not optional, right? So we're there and we're helping those folks. You know, is it the perfect solution for every long-term credit need for these consumers? No. You know, the as far as the duty of the state, let's remember here that the state in this bill, if passed – is only going to affect the companies that are licensed and operating under the state laws. You can get more expensive forms of credit from federally regulated industry. So how is taking the least expensive option out of the marketplace a good thing for consumers? What we're doing is not recognizing the fact that in the eyes of the consumer, they don't care if the state of Ohio regulates it. They don't care if it's a bounce check fee from their bank. They don't care if it's a late fee from the power company. It's the dollar cost of getting through their life.
But expense isn't the only issue. It's access. And some of those places that might charge more, it might be more expensive, may not give them the loan anyways because they wouldn't qualify, their credit rating or that sort of thing.
I would put forth we do a better job qualifying our customers. You know, you can get simple. All you have to have is a direct deposit and you can have a loan.
Bill, what about the limitations that you can't stop this industry eventually? It'll go somewhere else. It'll go down to the next corner. Well, legally or on the internet?
Well, you know, I'm from Youngstown. We knew about loan sharks.
Okay.
But the good thing about loan sharks is it's illegal. You know, they could be prosecuted. You know, the fact that some people will find a way to borrow money at high rates one way or another, that may be. But the fact that we have it so readily available, and, you know, I want to clarify one point that Ted made. I don't dispute that on a given loan, most of those get repaid. He said 95%, 97%, whatever. But the fact is, that doesn't tell you is the story of what happens to that customer, because most customers don't get just one loan and they're done. Most customers, the average customer in Ohio gets 12 loans a year. From a single payday lender, it may be 6, 7, 8 loans a year.
But aren't they limited now by law?
No, not under all these statutes that the payday lenders dug up to operate.
But in the bill that's pending now, is there a limit on the number?
Could you share with us a study where you actually have that hard fact that every customer in Ohio has 2 loans? I mean, it's tough for me to understand. The only place I've seen that assertion made is by this group called the Center for Responsible Lending, who has direct ties to Acorn. You know, and is not a real credible source of data. If there was a report,
oh, let's use Acorn.
Throw in the old Acorn bomb.
That's really classy, Ted.
But let's not you. I'm talking about
Center
for Responsible Lending.
You want to bring up communists next? Is that what you want to do?
No, what I really want to do is to get to the facts. Where are these facts coming from? I hear it all the time. I hear you passionately telling it. 50% of customers do this. All customers have 2 loans. Where are the facts coming from? If not from the Center for Responsible, take them off the table. Where are the facts coming from?
Let's hear from a caller right now. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. I own a small business, and I get a glimpse into the lives of people who use credit. I'm not in the credit industry. I own it doesn't matter what I own, but I work in the sciences. I'll leave it at that. And there's an old saying, the poor pay more, and nowhere is this more obvious than with these bloody payday loan companies. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a gun-owning, heterosexual, whiskey-drinking, regular guy who owns a business.
Do you hate Acorn?
No, I hate predatory lenders. The good thing about loan sharks is you can break their legs or sink them in the river and nobody cares. I watch young people who will work for my firm for a while. They get out of college. And whether it's somebody like this that you've got across the table from you, or whether it's a big bank that gives them a credit card with some slippery terms in it, I watch people who shouldn't be coming poor get poor. And this is predatory lending, and it has become an acceptable practice in our society. It's done. This group nails people who don't have a lot of options.
Well, predatory lending is a real is an interesting catchphrase. It's a very loaded phrase now. Mike, thanks for your call. What's predatory about somebody walking in on their own volition to take advantage of these loans, Bill?
Well,
why is that predatory?
Signs, quick cash, you know, check smart. You know, I mean, they're selling immediate access to money. And people that are desperate, people that are struggling, you know, that's attractive. And sometimes people that are struggling, people that are desperate, don't think about the long-term consequences. Like, you know, in 2 weeks, hopefully things will be better and I'll be able to pay this off and get things back on track. And it preys on people's, you know, optimism that things might get better. I mean, that's what's predatory about it. It's sold as a short-term fix to your situation. But for many of the people, it has long-term negative consequences.
We're going to have to take another short break. We'd like to hear from listeners about their positive experiences and their negative experiences with payday lending. Do you miss it or not? Let us know, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher at WOSU 820 NPR News. We'll be right back.
When star quarterback Michael Vick was jailed for running an illegal dogfighting operation, a hidden culture was revealed. On the next Fresh Air, we hear about that hidden culture and what's being done to stop dogfighting from the Humane Society's manager of animal fighting, John Goodwin, and former street dogfighter, Sean Moore. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning. I'm Amy Jurevich. 73 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:38. Get more radio. The WOSU Fall Membership Drive begins soon, and you can help reduce the number of days. For every $20,000 we raise, we'll take one day off the drive. Visit wosu.org/pledgefree for details. That's wosu.org/pledgefree for details. And in the weather forecast, cloudy skies today, a good chance of rain this afternoon and a high of 77. Clouds tonight and a low around 60. Morning sunshine on Friday, followed by a cloudy afternoon and a high of 78. And looking ahead to Saturday, rain, maybe a thunderstorm on Saturday, and a little chilly with a high of 68 degrees. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. And now back to All Sides.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm talking today with Ted Saunders. He's CEO of CheckSmart, a payday lending company based in Dublin. And Bill Faith, he's the executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio. That's the organization that led the successful ballot issue against payday interest rates last year. Bill Faith has served as Ohio's executive director since 1994. What is in this pending legislation that would stop this, regardless of how it turns out in terms of fees and interest rates, that would address the issue of people getting caught in a trap? Bill?
Well, there's probably four main provisions of the bill. One, that it would ban operations like Mr. Saunders from charging the cash to the check that they issue or the money order that they issue. That's one thing. Two, in terms of the borrower churning or the debt trap, what it would say is you can't charge all these interest and fees on loans that are less than 90 days, right? So he could still issue a loan, charge the origination fee, the credit check fee, and the interest, but he'd have to give borrowers 90 days to repay the loan under the bill. So that, I think, is probably one of the key provisions that would help.
And let me just interrupt you because we can get back to another person. But, Ted, what's wrong with that?
You know what? Nothing is stopping anybody from doing that today. If Bill thinks that's a good idea, I think Ohio should go up and open up a loan center across
the
street.
But what's the advantage to the customer to not do that? Well, I mean, there must be some reason why they're not.
I mean, frankly, we have to make a certain amount of money stay in business, and I'm not going to apologize for it. What Bill is doing – not Bill. Representative Lundy's bill is doing – different bill. Representative Lundy's bill is doing – you know, it came up in testimony. There are two members who asked this question repeatedly during the hearings yesterday. You know what the question is? If you just want to put these people out of business, just run a bill that says put them out of business and be genuine about it. It is hard. It was tremendously hard for us to stay in business under these rules. We're fighting every day to stay in business. All we're doing, this is a cloaked way of taking one competitor out of the market and putting us out of business. I'd feel a lot better about debating this thing if we just got it out and just said, look, in business, out of business, because this puts me out of business. Okay. Make no mistake about it. It's not more options for customers.
Why can't the state just put them out of business? Is there some reason why they don't just shut them down altogether?
I wouldn't oppose a bill like that.
Is that unconstitutional?
I would not oppose a bill like that.
So let's.
However,
we also want to make sure that those that are offering legitimate forms of small loan or other forms of lending can operate. So we don't want sort of the collateral damage of impacting that. I think it would be legitimate for a lender to be able to charge a small origination fee and charge 28%, provided they give borrowers at least 90 days to repay that loan. That gives them a better chance to actually pay it off and not have to get into the cycle of debt.
Okay, this is WOSU 820, All Sides with Ann Fisher. Let's take a call from Lisa. You're on the air.
I'm just trying to get my arms around this issue. There seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about the types of customers who use this product.
Well, what do you know about them?
I'm sorry?
What do you know about the types of customers?
Well, I don't. I was wondering if Mr. Saunders could go into a better description of his company's customers.
Well, how about Mr. Saunders and Bill Faith? Yeah. Ted, go ahead.
Sure.
What do you know about them?
Thanks for your question, caller. Our customers, and actually it came up in the testimony yesterday down at the State House, I have in front of me a book with 90 pages of pictures of my customers who volunteered to be photographed. We kind of called it the faces of CheckSmart. These are folks who use the service. They are of every gender, every age, every minority.
Do you have any specifics?
Oh, I'm good. This is middle America. These are people who make $25,000 to $45,000 a year. These are people who are employed, who by and large have, you know, in some cases, some of these folks are working two jobs. These are your neighbors. These are your help in your office. This is your delivery guy. This is your law enforcement officer. This is the orderly at the hospital. I mean, these are not unsophisticated folks as people would portray. These are not folks that are not able to make adult decisions. And I think that's what's been really frustrating for the customers and for the operators of the industry is this notion that we wake up every day and I look for society's most ineligible or unable to repay person, then I run out in front of the store and we give them money. I mean, as a lender, kind of lending 101 is trying to find the most creditworthy borrower and give them the money in hopes of getting repaid. And that's probably the genesis of the caller's question.
Bill, what do you know about the demographics? What's your point of view?
I don't dispute. The borrowers are low and moderate income people. That's who they are. A witness that testified at yesterday's hearing is somebody who's living on Social Security. And they went in and got a loan, and they couldn't pay it off. I mean, so they ended up getting a loan from another lender to pay off the first lender, and that's what created the cycle of debt for her. But there's a range. I mean, I don't dispute that there's some people that make $30,000, $40,000 a year. There's also a lot of people that make very little that find themselves in desperate situations, and they turn to payday lending.
There's another provision in the bill that would give the Attorney General powers. Can you talk about that, Bill?
Yeah, the Attorney General in other states where we've seen payday lenders try to get around statutes that are designed to regulate them, the Attorney General in those states have been key to enforcing the new laws, particularly for subterfuge or circumvention of the intent of the statutes. So the Attorney General plays a key role. He actually weighed in yesterday at the hearing, sent a letter to the committee expressing his full support for House Bill 209, not just because of the additional powers, but because of the other regulations in the bill.
He could prosecute violations under the new law, under the Consumer Sales Practice Act. Is that like the Lemon Law, or
it's a form of our basic consumer protection tool in the state of Ohio is the Consumer Sales Practice Act. It protects us in buying products and services in a whole range of things. I mean, we fought a few years ago to make sure that consumers were protected under that act when they got into mortgage lending. So extending that to all these different forms of payday lending would be an important step, and that's something that's included in the bill.
How do you feel about that, Ted?
I'd be kind of indifferent to me if the bill passes because I won't be in business. But, I met with General Cordray. He's a bright man, and we're lucky I'm sure he does a great job out of his office. You know, my understanding of the real genesis of the Consumer Sales Practices Act was more to deal with, as you asked about, more lemon laws, more notion of selling things that are unsafe. In the way this ties in this debate is the people on the other side of the argument for me would have us believe that there's something inherently wrong with this product and the delivery of the product. Whereas, I don't believe we have more disclosure, more clarity. When we trip over ourselves, we actually suggest to every customer in the documents and on the internet to, explore all their options before they come to us. I don't think that this is a sector of the economy that needs to be regulated in the same fashion as, TVs with electrical shortages, but I'm not an expert on it.
Are there other services like this that are regulated in Ohio, Bill, do you know?
All consumer transactions are regulated by the CSPA, or the Consumer Sales Practice Act. I mentioned mortgage lending, car sales.
Right.
But what it really regulates, let's just be clear, is unfair, deceptive, and unconscionable acts performed by people in the business community against consumers.
Okay, so why would that drive – you're saying that wouldn't necessarily be driving you out of business.
Exactly,
it's the other stuff.
Yeah, what I'm saying is it is interesting to me that all of the acts that are on the books today seem to have functioned fairly successfully from the 60s, 70s without the enforcement. I don't have a personal problem with it. It doesn't make sense to me intuitively, but, as an industry, we're one of the most – unusual industries in the world, because every time I meet with a legislator, I said, for the unfortunate situations like Bill is talking about, I've made suggestions. We've done things voluntarily. In June of last year, I had 5% of all the customers in Ohio that we do business with in a free payment plan. I don't have a problem with trying to do things to help the very small minority of people who find themselves over their head in their life. Okay, and doing good things to your customers, having your employees do the right things in the community is why people do business with you. So let's not for a minute think that that's something that we would be opposed to. I think we're probably the only industry in the world who actively lobbies for further legislation to make people comfortable so that we can coexist and do business in a state. The issue that we have is with people who don't know how to lend money, who don't know how to serve our customers, sit back in an office and say, I think I know because it feels, it thinks, it's intuitive, I believe this way, and design a loan product for a customer. That's the challenge. Let's set the framework out, and if it's really a better deal for the customer, if it's really easier to serve these customers on less economic terms, I promise you the market will solve it. Somebody will open up across the street from me and offer a 90-day loan just as Bill described if it's feasible to offer. Somebody will put me out of business the American way, which is competition.
Bill?
I think it's the American way to have reasonable regulation so that industries don't take advantage of people in the products and services that they buy.
I'm still trying to understand the metamorphosis of this, that the issue passed last November. And did you think that was going to be the end of it? Or were you expecting some pushback?
There were three quarters of the state legislature, Republicans, Democrats alike, who voted for this legislation. The payday lenders spent $20 million trying to persuade the voters that this law is bad, it would put them out of business, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we've got to remember, a year ago, all the ads that were on TV trying to persuade voters that this was a bad bill, but it passed overwhelmingly. It was almost 2-1 in terms of the vote. And I thought, honestly, that it would create a big impact on reining in the marketplace, that payday lending as we knew it would no longer exist. Only legitimate forms of small loan lending could exist. And I thought we would see some significant change. But they have figured out multiple acts, the Small Loan Act, the Mortgage Loan Act. I mean, obviously, that act was never designed to regulate loans such as this. They also, some of them have drifted over to be call themselves credit service organizations, that they're only giving the loan as part of a credit service for their customers. Therefore, they could pack in additional fees.
You know, there was a little bit of a turnover in the legislature last year, but it does sort of boggle the mind that while they're passing the bill to put the issue on the ballot and it's passed overwhelmingly to go on, and it passes overwhelmingly in November, that there's also lawmakers, including leadership, telling the payday lending industry, well, why don't you go over here and do it this way? We're going to shut it down over here, and that this was not expected.
Well, no. Let's just be clear. What the legislators thought that they could do was simply operate like the old small loan lenders used to operate, meaning they give a loan. They could charge an origination fee. They could charge the interest. But they have to give the customers – I mean, the typical loans under the old program were 90-day loans. They gave people more time to repay. Nobody in the legislature ever anticipated that they would play the kinds of games such as charging people – act like, you know, it's the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing. Issue them a check, their check or their money order on the one hand, and then with their left hand – turn around and charge them to cash that very check. There's no risk on that check. They know it's good. They just issued it. So nobody anticipated the lengths at which the payday lenders have gone to get around the intent of that statute.
Okay, Ted, and then we're going to take a couple calls and an email. So, Ted, go ahead.
Let's got to hit the first one first. You know what? Bill and the other members of his coalition last year sold the Ohio legislature on an overwhelmingly sold them on a dream. And that dream was if they would get behind House Bill 545, the consumers in Ohio would get loans for 28%, that everything was going to be great. Access for credit was going to be there. We'd have these licenses. We have this great all these provisions in this bill. And it was going to be the best thing they could get behind. And it's good for customers in Ohio. Bottom line is nobody's making loans under House Bill 545. The next thing that got sold to the people of Ohio was, if you vote yes, you're going to get loans for 28%. If I went on the ballot tomorrow for capping gasoline at a buck a gallon in the state of Ohio, I bet I might actually get that thing passed. You know what would happen? BP would go out of business, and we'd be peddling our Schwinn's to work. The reality is we can look back to last year, and there are two big dreams sold. And the key corollary between the two is, if you get behind this legislature, Ohio, you're going to get loans for less. And you know what happened? To a small extent, they did. We are offering loans at half of what we used to. But on the other hand, the institutions that aren't required to follow those regulations have raised all of their fees in this tough economy, all banks and credit unions. Customers have not gotten more choice and options. In fact, now they have half the locations from us to receive their credit. And we put 2,500 people out of work. We've put a $100 million hole in tax revenue in this year's budget, which was pretty challenging to balance. What good came from it?
That's a good question. Bill, is there any evidence that people who would have been preyed upon were not this past year?
Fewer people are taking out these loans.
But are you sure they're the people that would have gotten into the cycle before?
No, I mean, there's still ample opportunity to get trapped in the cycle of debt. That's why we need this bill.
I want to take an email from Miles. Miles says he has mixed feelings about the loans themselves, that he spent most of his early 20s simply out of money. Out of money assumes that you actually had money, Miles. I never did. And from time to time, you would use them as needed. You'd use the payday loans as needed. You said, still, I think most of the fees banks charge to be at least equally as predatory, especially overdraft protection, which I feel is a total scam. What about that, Bill? I mean, that's a good point. And that gets back to the question I asked earlier, is what is there out there as an alternative, a safe alternative for people?
Well, overdraft protection is not a loan. It's a fee charge when you bounce a check. I mean, and do the banks charge a lot for those overdrafts? Absolutely. I think it's outrageous. And we ought to lobby our federal legislators to rein in the banks on those kinds of charges. We can't do that as a state. It's a matter for the Congress and the Obama administration to take up. But there are members of the Congress that want to do that. There's been bills proposed, and I would support those kinds of things. I mean, I think they gouge customers in a similar way to what payday lenders do.
But it can't advocate. The reality is that our legislature is constrained, as Bill just said. I would put forth that taking the least expensive option that the customer has out of the market really doesn't do any good for the consumer. And if public policy is what we're talking about, it ought to be something that's good for the constituent.
Okay. Brad or Brat?
Hi, are you on? It's Brad.
Brad, okay. can you make it quick, about 30 seconds?
I can. What I was going to say is that, you know, I got out of school and I had a lot of credit card problems, and I cut up my credit cards and I got myself out of debt, and now I don't have any credit cards anymore. And I've had occasions where I needed some cash, once for an unexpected trip, another time for a deductible on some medical things. And if I didn't have one of these places to go to, I really don't know what I've done, because I really don't do a good job with credit cards. So having this available to me has taken the place of it. And the few times I've used it, I think I'm using it more responsibly than I did my credit cards.
Okay, but the people that suffer from this aren't people like Brad. Sounded like a woman, but with a man's name.
Right. Well, but I mean, if people actually used it, if everybody used it, you know, in and out, meaning that they don't get into a cycle of debt, I would have a lot less problems with the product.
Let me
make Bill feel better. I've heard this over and again. Our average, and we don't talk about our private data very often, but I've heard this claim a number of times. 3 years, 17,000 customers in one of the markets in Ohio. I did the mean and median on it 7 or 8 times over a 3-year period. You can't be trapped in a cycle of debt if you only came in 7 times. It just doesn't work. Math doesn't work.
Okay. We got a quick email from Linda. She says, I'm writing for my second job. I have used payday lenders. They are deceptive and make a bad situation worse. So that's from one of the people that have been struggling with them. We're out of time. My thanks to Ted Saunders, CEO of CheckSmart. I hope you'll join us again as this debate rages in the State House.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Bill Faith from Ohio, who led the charge in last November and is leading the charge now for a bill that would further constrain what payday lending institutions can charge customers.
Thanks a lot, Ann.
Thanks for being here. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. You are listening to listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.